Francis Chernick. I do not know why I survived. The animals were treated better than we. When the Germans entered Poland, my family and I were moved to the ghetto and then on to Auschwitz. My mother and father were sent to their deaths. I asked completed to go with them, but my mother said not to argue. Obeying her saved my life. Unfortunately, only my brother and I survived. I happened to have a nice singing voice, and while in the work camps, I sang to keep up everyone's spirit. Sorry, I felt that I'll do it over. Francis Chernick, I do not know why I survived. The animals were treated better than we. When the Germans entered Poland, my family and I were moved to the ghetto and then on to Auschwitz. As my mother and father were sent to their deaths, I pleaded and asked to go with them, but my mother said not to argue. Obeying her saved my life. Ultimately, only my brother and I survived. I happened to have a nice singing voice, and while in the work camps, I sang to keep up everyone's spirit. As a result, someone kept providing food for me, which I shared with those around me who had less, and I was saved. I was part of a death march from Reichenberg at the end, but survived this as well. At liberation, I vowed never to sing again, and I have not sung in 60 years. Not only that, but for 45 years after being liberated, I was silent about my experiences until my daughter asked me to tell the story. And now I'm trying to teach others through what I have learned. Judy Freeman. When I speak to students or adults about my experiences, the question most often asked is, why didn't you fight back? And my reply is, the ultimate form of resistance is having stayed alive. I'm very committed to keeping alive the memory of those millions of men, women, and children who perished in the Holocaust. I speak on their behalf so that they will not be forgotten. In 1944, everything changed for my family and town. The Germans came and began deporting the Jews. We were put into a huge ghetto. We were later deported to Auschwitz, and at the age 15, I was separated from my mother and sister, who were sent to the gas chambers. Being young and able-bodied, I was sent to the work camp in Lager C in Birkenau, where each barrack housed 1,000 women. We lived on bare shelves, with 8 to 10 people sharing each shelf. The lucky ones got to keep their shoes. We starved, and we worked. Some of the girls developed a vacant stare and lost the ability to think, but I was determined to try to keep my sanity and to stay alive so I could tell the world of the atrocities that mankind can inflict upon innocent human beings. In the fall of 1944, I was sent to the crematorium, but while waiting to be gassed, a sudden air raid interrupted the killings, and I was marched back to the barracks. This was the second time I cheated imminent death. They sent me to a slave labor camp near Berlin, and at least the hard labor was indoors and not out in the cold winter. As the Russian army came closer to Berlin, we were evacuated and taken on the infamous death march through the forests and highways of Germany. We ended up in Bergen-Belsen, and we again lived in lice-infested, crowded barracks. A huge typhus epidemic raged, killing thousands each day. I was very sick when we were liberated in April 15, 1945. After I spent time in a hospital, I returned to my hometown to find that none of my family had survived. Throughout the rest of my life, I have been determined to tell our story, to be sure those voices were never silenced. A short excerpt from the poem, We Survived, by Judy Freeman. The 6 million who perished, their voices silenced forever. Left us a legacy we must remember. We are the survivors. We live to tell the tale. We are the remnants who bear witness to this world. Rena Finder. Rena was referred to Dr. Rena Finder. After having her portrait painted, she left a note for Dr. Siegel that read, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow." She was 10 years old when the Nazis came. Ultimately, everybody in her family died, and she was lucky enough to be sent to a factory owned by Oskar Schindler. He was very kind to her, she says, and to all the workers, he was literally a god. He opened his eyes for us to see the sadistic murdering. As in the movie, Schindler's List states, he who saves one life will do it. Rena Finder. Rena was referred to Dr. Siegel as a magnificent example of one person making a difference. After having her portrait painted, she left a note with Dr. Siegel that read, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow." She was 10 when the Nazis entered Krakow. Ultimately, her whole family perished, but she was lucky enough to be sent to the factory, which was owned by Oskar Schindler. There, he was doing all he could to open the eyes of all to see the sadistic murdering of the people, while an indifferent world looked on. As Schindler said, "He who saves one life saves the world." She has been determined to prove that everyone has the power to decide, to choose to participate, not to stand by and do nothing, but to take action, to say no to hate, bigotry, and racism. Rosetta Goldstein. "Man is his own worst enemy. I do not want the Holocaust to happen again, but it is, and we must not stay silent." She plans to go with her eldest granddaughter on the March of the Living and states, "I'm getting older, and she will be my voice when I'm gone. We must hand down the knowledge of the Holocaust to our grandchildren so that it cannot be denied." Born in Paris to Polish parents, we were sent to Germany and then France and back and forth. And when the Nazis entered Paris, my father was sent to a concentration camp and we never saw him again. I was one of the many hidden children. A farm family kept me hidden until the end of the war. My mother and I were reunited and ultimately came to the USA, and we learned that my father had died in Buchenwald after being also in Auschwitz. He helped one man survive, and this man later told me of his bravery. I visited the sub-camp of Buchenwald where my father died and said Kaddish there. Judith Goldstein. "The Holocaust is a painful subject for me, but I cannot let these memories die with me. I was born in what was then the Jewish cultural center of Eastern Europe, and in 1941 the Nazis occupied it, and we were placed in a ghetto. It was especially known as a place for horrendous murder and tragedy. We were there for 2 years. Finally, the ghetto was liquidated, and in a killing place called Ponary, a forest outside of Vilna, 100,000 people were murdered, 70,000 of which were Jews, all from Vilna. She and her mother somehow survived and shipped to a series of concentration camps. She later studied music and art and has contributed to the collection at Yad Vashem and many other galleries. She has published art books all about images from her childhood. As she says, we must try to preserve history and express the inexpressible. I have learned never to be silent again. Adele Judas. "As long as we are alive, it is our duty to teach the generations of today that such a horrible thing happened and that this should not repeat. Ignorance and forgetting has a tendency to be repeated. Germany occupied our country, and when I was very young, we were sent to several concentration camps in France. But through the efforts of the Children's Aid Society, my brother and I were smuggled into Switzerland, where we lived the rest of the war as hidden children. My parents were sent away, and only my father survived, and that because he was a master carpenter. My mother survived somewhat a shorter period of time working in the camp's kitchen. My husband was also a hidden child in a French concentration camp, and he was the only survivor of his family.